Now, there's been a big argument going on for about 2,000 years about whether Mary was a virgin or not. Believe it or not, there's some bishops in the Episcopal Church that doubt the virgin birth. I still don't know how they got to be priests if they doubt the virgin birth. I mean, it's in the creed, and we're supposed to believe all of that, and we do. That's why we're here. There's no biblical proof to whether Mary remained a virgin after the birth of Jesus. And so that becomes part of the argument. So I'll go with that. But as far as the first part, I believe that Mary was a virgin. It says so in the Bible. And then there should be no dispute. We have crystal clear evidence of that in the Gospel of Luke. In the verses just prior to today's Holy Gospel. The angel, Gabriel, came upon Mary and said, "The angel said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name of Jesus. He'll be great. And he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary said. She asked the angel, "I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God." The angel Gabriel tells Mary, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon her, enabling her to do and be more than she could possibly do or be herself. At the same time, the power of the Most High will overshadow her. Now think about this. God himself, the Creator, will surround her completely with his sovereign power. All this sounds kind of amazing, but remember that in the Bible and in Jewish and Christian thought, the true God is the one in whose image humans were made in the first place. We're not talking about a pagan God superseding roughly and inappropriately in the affairs of a people, but about the one who made us himself. When he takes the initiative, it's always a matter of love. A love which will care for us and offer us his salvation. Mary's a great example of what always happens when God is at work by grace through humanity. God's power and Holy Spirit result in things being done which would have been unthinkable any other way. There's no other explanation. Of course, no one is likely to be convinced of Luke's account of these events, who isn't already open to the possibility that Jesus is also the one in whom Israel's God had made his personal appearance and walked into human history. Isn't it true that he split time in two? A.D. and what we used to call B.C. Now it's called before the Common Era. I still say it's before Christ. And Anno Domini. At the year of the Lord. He made his personal appearance and split time in two. This is a question of faith, a belief that through God all things are possible. Think about how and where Jesus would be born. The child to be born would be the Messiah, the anointed one, the king of the house of David. God had promised David a descendant who would reign forever, not over Israel only, but for the whole world. And this coming king would be God's son. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14, God says, "I will be his father, and he will be my son." Could it get any clearer? In Psalm 2, verse 7, God clearly says, through King David, the psalmist, "I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.'" In Psalm 89, verses 26 to 27, God proclaims, "He will call out to me. You are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior. I will also appoint him my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth." So let's face it. The breadcrumbs have been spread out through Scripture telling us that God's own Son was coming to save us. All we need to do is follow them. Jesus is somehow identified with God in a unique way, which people then and somehow now find it hard to grasp and believe. All you need to do is turn on the TV, and all the Christmas shows have nothing to do with the reason for the season. I talked about that last week. Jesus is the reason for the season, but the reason that he came is because of sin and a need for a Savior. Well, we know Jesus is the true ruler of the world in a way which leaves Caesar and the powers of the world today a long way behind in the dust. It's easier for people to believe in other things than to grasp what happens in Luke chapter 1 and later in Luke chapter 2. We have the conception of a baby, the power of God, and the challenge to all earthly empires. And maybe that's one reason why it's all controversial. The concern and hubbub about whether Mary could possibly conceive a baby without a human father is because down deep, some people don't even want to think that there might be a king who could claim this sort of power, absolute power, and loyalty. There's more going on during this time. Remember the puzzled Zechariah? We talked about him earlier during the season of Advent, who was filled with doubt. He questioned the angel Gabriel, and because of that doubt, he was struck speechless for the rest of the pregnancy. 9 months without saying a word. His wife must have been happy. But he was then given his voice back on the day of the naming, the day of circumcision, what we also call the bris. And he came out and said his name will be John. Turned out to be John the Baptist. Think about the obedient humility of Mary. She took questions Gabriel, but it seems to be a request for information rather than filled with doubt. There's no doubt in her heart at all. Instead, faced with the chance to be a mother of the Messiah, not really sure about understanding what's going to involve, she says the words which have resonated through years as a model of the human response to God's unexpected calling. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you've said." There's a great contrast in these two people's responses. Mary had faith with no fear. And then Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, who the angel told her was pregnant. When Mary got to the hill country of Judea, which is right outside Jerusalem, because remember Zechariah was a priest in the temple, Luke's gospel tells us when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." We heard that in today's Holy Gospel. Elizabeth was given a supernatural knowledge by the Holy Spirit that Mary was not just pregnant, but she was bearing the Son of God, the Messiah. It's important for us to close with the words that Mary responded to Elizabeth with, which has been called the Magnificat. Listen to these special words, filled with love and faith, and no fear, that Mary said. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. There's no doubt in what was happening to her and to her son. She's filled with faith, with no fear, in the power of love of God for his people. Tomorrow evening, we will gather here in this church twice. Some of us will be here for both services. You're welcome to come to one and wassail in between. But we celebrate and we will remember the fruits of this miracle that we read about and heard about today. And we will witness to tomorrow the Feast of the Nativity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.